back on the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. The annual effort to write laws and decide how to spend your state tax money began this week in Tallahassee. Now, all next week at high noon, Monday through Friday, Florida public radio stations will be talking about some of the big legislative issues on Facebook Live. Be sure to follow WLRN on Facebook to participate. You can talk with Florida public radio reporters around the state on issues like school recess, health care, and fracking. The 2017 legislative session began on Tuesday and really just continued the political discord between Governor Rick Scott and Republican leadership, especially in the Florida House, over the governor's signature issue, jobs, and state money for job incentives.
For our state to simply say, we are not going to compete with other states, we are not going to make it easier to incentivize job creators to grow in Florida, that's just a big mistake for our state and for our families.
But as the first week comes to an end, the Florida House is prepared to effectively eliminate the state's Economic Development Agency in this effort led by House Speaker Richard Corcoran.
A robust civil debate is a sign that our democracy is working. When we get lazy and we start rubber stamping bills and we refuse to engage in intellectual, honest debate, that's when the people should worry.
Lynn Hatter is along with us now, news director for WFSU News in Tallahassee. Wilson Sayre is WLRN news reporter who's been in Tallahassee for this first week of the session. Lynn, let's begin with the governor. He spent a lot of time in the State of the State address talking about jobs and tourism and job incentives, yet the House is moving right ahead to reduce or eliminate that kind of spending. What's happening?
Well, you see Richard Corcoran really putting his foot down on this issue. You know, last year he began talking about eliminating Enterprise Florida, eliminating Visit Florida, and he's not swayed by the governor's argument that says that these agencies have value and should stay. Corcoran has called them corporate welfare. He has scaled back a little bit. He's not going to completely kill Visit Florida, but he's only moving forward with about $25 million of funding for that agency.
Now, all this happened, Lynn, at a time the governor was there on Tuesday to open the session, and by Wednesday he was in Washington, D.C. He wasn't even there for the full week of the session.
No, he wasn't. And it's really a symbol of kind of the friction here. But the governor hasn't really been very close to the legislature really throughout his time in office. There's always been this kind of tension between Governor Rick Scott and the lawmakers. But you really see that this year on display here with some of these big issues. And the main one really is Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida.
Wilson, Sarah, let me bring you in here. You've done a lot of reporting around the death penalty, and we have seen some very early, very fast movement on what Republican lawmakers would consider fixing the problems that the courts have identified with the death penalty. The Senate passed a bill that could lead to return to juries using the death penalty. What does this bill do, Wilson?
Well, it changes the language in the law right now that allows 10 of 12 jurors to hand down a death penalty sentence. Now that has to be unanimous. And just this morning, the House passed it. So this is one of the first pieces of legislation that's going to find itself on the governor's desk. And it wasn't very controversial. There was a lot of statements about other issues with the death penalty that the legislature, that certain legislators want to have heard. Probably that's unlikely, but this is sort of the most basic fix given the fact that the state Supreme Court threw out the old method of sentencing people to death in the state.
It's the second time around for the legislature to address the death penalty. Does this bill fix those shortcomings, Wilson?
Yeah, so last year there was a big debate between the Senate and the House after a previous court ruling threw out the rules for sentencing somebody to death. There's a lot of debate about should it be unanimous or does 10 to 2 meet the constitutional needs? And so some of the people who are behind this year's legislation, which says, yes, it has to be unanimous, sort of pointed that out. They said, you know, hey, we had this debate last year So, I mean, this is what the legislator had to do.
And have we heard at all about the governor's appetite to sign this legislation?
It's very likely that he will sign it. He has sent more people to the execution chamber than any other governor since 1960. I asked him a couple weeks ago, you know, why he hasn't signed new death warrants. And he says some of the ongoing legal battles about people who were previously sentenced is preventing him from signing more. But it seems like that that train is about to start again.
Yeah, I will say, if you want to better understand what the state of Florida's death penalty leading up to this week, you can listen to Wilson's documentary, Cell One, Florida's Death Penalty in Limbo. You can find that on our website, WLRN.org. Lynn Hatter, in our final moments here, I do want to ask about the signature issue by the Senate President Joe Negron, higher education reform. Big Bill came up for a vote, and he was in the chamber but didn't actually vote at all for this signature piece of legislation. What happened?
Yeah, it happens. He said his finger didn't make it quick enough to the button before the before the board went off. But yeah, I mean, his key priority, it has passed the Senate pretty much easily. It's now heading to the House. But, you know, something interesting about this is he's also called for a $1 billion investment in higher education. And that's starting to look kind of fuzzy in the House, where they're starting to look at university foundations. And they're questioning, you know, why are we giving you guys all this money when you're taking, you know, $60,000 travel overseas? So, you know, justifying that spend is going to become really tricky.
And again, this is Republican and Republican over education spending, higher education spending at that. Are there many areas of common ground between the legislature and then adding the third player in here, the governor?
Well, you do see many areas of agreement, but one of the big places where you're going to start seeing more problems is really when it comes to money.
Yeah.
Where do you spend? Who do you spend it on? The governor is already sharpening his knives, targeting pet projects. You already see some of those in danger in the House. So the breakdown is really going to come down to money, really, and that's something everybody's paying attention to, those dollars go.
Lynn Hatter paying attention to it with WFSU News in Tallahassee, where she's news director. Wilson Sayre, WLRN reporter, with us from Tallahassee as well. Thanks to both of you. Now, we know you must love radio, or at least like it somewhat, so we want to invite you to Radio Fest Saturday at the Wolfsonian Museum on Miami Beach. WLRN has teamed up with the Wolfsonian to celebrate radio. Several of Harvey Mantel's radios will be on display Saturday, including the one he spent $22,000 for.
Not only do radio collectors covet it, people who collect iconic Art Deco design. So the demand is not limited to crazy radio collectors. It's other people want them, and there aren't a lot. So that's why it's so expensive.
It's a celebration of frequency modulation, amplitude modulation, all things radio. We will have a live recording booth set up just outside the museum in Miami Beach, and you can tell us a story. And then Saturday night at 7, we present four brand new radio theater plays, inspired by real stories you've heard here on WLRN News. Now, WLRN members will receive a 50% discount on tickets. And you can find out more information, the whole schedule for Radio Fest, by clicking on the Radio Fest logo on our homepage at WLRN.org, or look for it in our social media streams. Finally, on the roundup, nonprofits like WLRN thrive because of the thousands of supporters and volunteers. We lost one of our longest-serving volunteers this week. Joe Asmundson began helping out here back in 1990 as a volunteer with our radio reading service. For 27 years, she shared with WLRN her energetic spirit, deep sense of community, and her joy for life. She spent the past 4 years as the chair of the WLRN Community Advisory Board. She passed away this week. She was an extraordinary woman whose leadership and generosity of time and thought will be missed by all. That'll do it for the Florida Roundup. It is produced by Bridget O'Brien and Alicia Zuckerman. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontato is our digital director. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. WLRN's program director is Peter J. Meritz, and our technical supervisor today, Jason Sabka. I'm Tom Hudson. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening.